Okay, and welcome back. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the massive extinction event continues to pick up steam. It's like a slow freight train headed downhill. More and more indications are that major, major issues are really undeniable anymore. We know about the ocean life. We do know also, thanks to Dana, about the large animals in British Columbia, mammals, elk, deer, moose. They're not where they're supposed to be. The government says, well, they just migrated away. No, didn't happen that way. I'm getting a feedback of my voice, Todd, if you can see if you can fix that. The other issue, of course, and I think this is maybe the biggest one that nobody talks about except us here, and that's the issue of insects. Dana Durnford was the first one to present that on the program, and now we have further confirmation that at least in areas of Utah and Colorado, western Colorado, eastern Utah, there are virtually no bugs like there used to be. And if you heard the story with Brian Tweed, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Check your windshields. Think back, all of you, this summer. Are the insects all over my car like they usually are in summer, or are things diminishing? I think many of you are going to find out that they are, in fact, diminishing. Let's find out who's there. First, Dana, are you up there in B.C.?
I am, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. How are you doing?
Good. A little bit of a heat wave.
Oh, my God. It's the hottest in history in the Middle East. Of course, we know that. I'm not being facetious. But we've got this heat dome over the northern hemisphere. Everybody's cooked. It's crazy. It's 105 down here in 2 days.
Wow.
It's been 95.
I'm not complaining in that case.
No, it's been 90 and 95. Quite often since June the 1st.
I'm a wuss. I'm spoiled. I'm Canadian, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're supposed to be cool and green and snow and glaciers, and that's all changing.
Yeah,
that's all changing. Yeah, yeah. And Yoshi, where are you? Are you there, Yoshi? We may not have him yet. Okay, I guess we don't have him yet. If you're not there... In fact, let me email him real quick. Here's a story I wanted to touch on first. This is really, I mean, how long have we been talking about this, friends, on this program? Over 5 years now. So the Asahi Shimbun, it's a big newspaper, a news service in Japan, says, there's no end to the Fukushima crisis while melted fuel remains. So what is TEPCO talking about doing? Leaving the melted fuel below the destroyed plant and putting a concrete box over it. This is insane. All they're doing is guaranteeing and protecting the ongoing, irrevocable change from a vibrant, happy, socialized, cultural world of animal life to Extinction City. That's all they're doing. They're protecting the melted fuel by covering the whole damn thing in concrete. The story reads, a massive concrete structure encases the wrecked number 4 reactor at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, site of the catastrophic 1986 accident. Dubbed the sarcophagus, it was erected to contain the fuel that could not be extracted from the crippled reactor. But remember, it was still in the reactor. I never expected this word, Sekan, S-E-K-K-A-N, Sekan in Japanese, to crop up in connection with the 2011 Fukushima nuclear crisis. That's sarcophagus. So they've raised the word, local governments are talking, TEPCO's talking. If they build a box over it, it's not like Chernobyl at all, because the melted fuel is no longer in the reactors. There are no reactors. They blew up, and the melted fuel went underneath, straight down, right through the containment. Probably in the first 2-3 days it got through, it breached containment and was on its way. Nobody knows where it is now. How many hundreds of tons are missing, or is it thousands of tons?
Hey, we just got a breaking story coming out from Forbes, so I thought it might have been a hoax because Forbes is pro-nuke creeps. But Pokemon Go...
Yeah.
Found in Fukushima, gamers asked to avoid toxic Japanese nuclear plants. Now, Jeff, what's really startling about this story is they say even though 5 years has passed since an earthquake and tsunami caused a catastrophic nuclear meltdown. Nothing has been decided yet on how to extract the melted fuel or how to decommission. Just listen to this one. Fukushima Daiichi number one and Daini number two power plants. And not only that, on the bottom of that first page, Yankee Stadium, I wonder if I went down too far. Game developers also talk about number one and number two plants, which is Daini. And so we haven't heard that before. What's going on here? Because we know there's 15 plants went into cold shut, couldn't go into cold shutdown, had what they call station blackout, which is a total loss of power, the worst thing that can happen.
Correct.
Now they're admitting the Daini plant is destroyed.
Okay,
wow.
Now,
that's 10 kilometers away.
Fukushima Daiichi is the one. That's the one we're familiar with for all of you out there. It's got six reactors. Two of them were supposedly not destroyed like the four that we know. They were set off a little bit to the southeast, I think. Anyway, they're on the same property, but they're set off a little bit from the others. Now, they're saying that the other, the sister plant, Fukushima Daini, is also destroyed. Quote that again for me. I want to.
That was 11 minutes ago that story came out. And
okay.
I haven't seen any other references to it yet.
Never anything about Daini. Nothing.
Pokemon Go found in Fukushima. Gamers asked to avoid toxic Japanese nuclear plant. And the very first paragraph, nothing has been decided yet on how to extract the melted nuclear fuel or how to decommission the crippled Fukushima Daiichi number one and Daini number two nuclear power plants. And so there you go. Now they're coming out and saying this other power plant is destroyed, because that's what only thing you can take away with that, because you don't know how to decommission one or two. Wow. And that's Forbes.
That's amazing. Forbes actually, in the beginning, I forget the name of the reporter, for the first a year, he was doing some pretty good work, but they obviously got leaned on, and that took care of that.
Yeah. And then games developer NIANTIC says the area around number one, this is in response to Pokemon, areas around number one and number two should be exclusion zones in the Pokemon Go. And so why did they say that? And so why is two of those stories linked together? And wow. Why did Forbes admit that?
Yeah.
Now Forbes, wow.
Can you send that to me?
Please? I can, so, yeah.
This is
Yoshi,
not...
Yoshi,
Not yet. We're trying to get him.
Okay.
We had him, and then when I called him up, he wasn't there. So I don't know. I called him up not in a figurative sense. Right. I said, are you there? So we did have him. He is there somewhere. And we have a new phone number, and he's in Thailand right now, I think. But we'll try and get him. This is another big story. What's happening here, Dana, though, just boggles my mind. When you have what is allegedly a free press, allegedly, and they don't cover the extinction event, which is what Fukushima is, an extinction event, you know,
yes, sir,
that the press is not free. You know. It's full of shills. It's a fourth branch of government. It's the Ministry of Propaganda, Information, and Mass Mind Control. That's all it is.
Yeah. And UNSCLEAR is a good example of that. They're all government-appointed, sanctioned players from different countries.
Uh-huh.
And they said about Chernobyl that Chernobyl gave everybody on the planet equivalent of 21 days of extra natural background radiation. And that's quite a staggering statement, bald-faced lie on top of that.
So wait. That's all they said, that's all Chernobyl did was give everybody an extra 21 days of normal background radiation.
Globally.
Oh, come on.
Globally. Hey, you remember when they sent up that satellite and plutonium was on it and detonated, and they said everybody on the planet had plutonium in it because of that detonation? For quite a few
that goes back. That goes back a long time. Yeah.
Right, that goes back 50 years or something. And so
all those satellites are fueled by plutonium, most of them anyway, except for the solar paneled ones. The deep space probes are plutonium.
This is what they had said anyway, and I agree with what you're saying. But so then you got three melted reactors in Japan, and the volume, the inventories in each of these buildings, five reactors on the top of each buildings in the storage pools. And a reactor core in the reactor. This is really something else. And in the last 2 weeks, I've been out on the boat just sitting there. I got a spot picked out where I go out, and I'm studying that one spot over and over and over and over and over for insects and birds and stuff like that. And I haven't seen altogether probably one bird and four insects.
How sad.
And so this is really, really bizarre, because the trees are right up to the shoreline and perfect days and listening for any sound. Yeah, no, we're in a lot of trouble.
No birds,
We're in a lot of trouble, yeah.
See, when you don't hear birds, first of all, as you just said, that's not possible. There have to be birds there.
Oh, yeah, it's a gorgeous place, unbelievable for birds. Yeah.
This is a mass extinction event. It's rolling like an invisible tsunami from west to east.
And now they emit the Donnie too, finally. And they say Donnie was saved because they managed to run an extension cord into the park.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't work that way. There was nowhere to plug it in. Anyway, if they could run an extension cord, so to speak. Miles O'Brien from PBS says that one. And we got them faking being inside a Unit 4, and quite a few of them. Seven different quarters.
Those photos in Unit 4 are faked. Most of them. A lot of them.
Now we know why there's 30 million bags. For sure.
30 million black plastic bags of varying intensities of radioactive waste. 30 million of these bags. And the plastic is being broken down. In a couple of years, it'll just be just holes. There won't be anything.
At best,
best.
Yeah, it's not designed for anything. Transportation.
Those metal storage tanks full of all that water they keep talking about processing have only a 5-year maximum lifespan, and then they'll rust through. Because they're sitting on the ocean, and they're not going to process those tanks full of water. They're going to dump them all. They have been dumping them all, I think, at night into the ocean. They're just going to dump.
I was looking at the food exports for Japan, and they're having a boomer year again.
Exports or imports?
I'm sorry, exports. And so fishery and forestry, agriculture, 21% from a year earlier to 745.
So there, what you're saying is that the farmers in Japan are having bumper crops and they're having great yields, and the exports are up 20%+.
I'll just go through it for you. Exports to other parts of Asia, this is official. United States, Europe were particularly brisk. So Europe and the United States were hit hard. And anybody that ate that stuff is really going to pay for it in the near future. That was... And so, in 2015, exports of agriculture, forestry, fisheries surged 24%, 18%, 24%. And then the final tally was, so scallops. Now, scallops are magnifying the radiation 120,000 times or so, bio-magnifying it because they're filter feeders. So that's the worst thing. Green tea is another really bad one. That top 10 billion yen.
That's a bad one. You green tea lovers, you better do your research.
56%. That's crazy. And so they're going to increase it all the way up until 2020. They're on a big push. They've been sending peaches down to different countries. The worst place to be is Hong Kong, because of the money values. Then they're using that to buy food product, but it's just a ploy to get rid of it because nobody wants it. And so they send it down to these places.
Where are they sending the majority of their agricultural exports?
Hong Kong is the most, with $179 billion a year. United States is second with $107
really?
Billion.
Really? So we're getting Japanese agricultural products?
$107 billion, yeah.
What are we getting? What do we look for?
Green cheese, rice, and agriculture. Forestry and fisheries.
Oh my
products.
God! So we've got Japanese rice here.
Whiskey is another one. Drinks is another one. A sharp increase in soft drinks. That trend is expected to continue. And so that was the Hillary Clinton pact that she made with Japan, right?
Where yes, she said yes. Keep in mind that you do not have any. There's no law that says that your market has to tell you from the. They don't have to list country of origin of the produce they're selling. They do not have to.
What they're doing, yeah.
Of course it is.
It takes so long to show up under these
plausible deniability. You got cancer in 5 years from some apples you ate or whatever, or rice you've been eating.
Just
the green tea you've been drinking.
Just one apple from these places is a big risk. It's a huge risk. A scallop is stupid. Eating scallop in there is idiotic. You got to be stupid.
Well, we know we can go back to
seafood.
What about the story about the bivalves and cancer floating? Infectious cancer organisms are now floating all over the Pacific. They've been found in the Atlantic on both sides of the Atlantic.
Different shellfish, yeah, not just mussels.
And they're affecting shellfish. But these are malignancy causing cells floating. They're infectious in the water, and
contagious.
Any form of sea lights. Any sea life, totally contagious. And who's going to tell me that they're only going to stay in clams? Come on.
No, I mean, and they like to say snails and everything else are in that same category. Sea urchins and starfish are in that exact same, are susceptible to anything the other ones are.
That may well be what wiped out all the starfish.
So when all the starfish wiped out, because they eat mussels, you would expect the mussels to just go crazy on the
coast. And they didn't tell us anything about it.
Incredible. That didn't happen. They disappeared. All the documentation from the expedition showed that. Yeah, and so here they are. I was thinking about it this morning, and I went looking for the export, and I was like, I don't know why, but it just struck me. I better go look for that, better gather that up, because there's something going on there I need to know. And I was reading it, and I was like, oh, my goodness, these people are out of control. Not only that, now we know the Daini. So there's twice everything. Tokyo and everything north of Tokyo, for sure you want to avoid anything. And Tokyo and south of Tokyo, everything you want to avoid that too. But everything in the power plant side, which is north of Tokyo, and Tokyo is a million becquerels a square meter throughout that place of this, and there's a million becquerels of that, and there's a million becquerels of these. One don't travel by itself. This is genocide. Like I said, it was 860 increased cancers in the cancer registry in Japan a year after. And not, you know, like thyroid was 1, 2, 3 in a million. Now it's 13,600 out of 40,000, not out of a million, but out of 40,000. So these are the most frightening numbers imaginable. These are the most crazy things imaginable. That you know, you want to say that's a lie when you hear these things.
Yes. Oh,
you
want
to say that because that doesn't make sense.
No.
No.
I agree.
That's not possible. Jeff, it's not possible on any models we got on this planet. But nuclear is the only thing that can destroy everything and anything. There's nothing that it can't destroy. There's nothing it can't contaminate.
Okay, let me hypothetically lay this out. How are we supposed to survive when we have killed off the Pacific Ocean, when the food chain literally is missing multiple essential links, which will never be forged and reinserted on that chain, when animals are dying by masses, species, cross-species infection now with cancer? How are we supposed to deal with this? We're going to die, a lot of us. We're going
to
die.
There is no... We have to develop technology. We have... See, if we had a meteorite coming at us, we'd develop some pretty cool technology pretty darn quick. And...
We would. You're right.
Right, because we could see it, yeah. And we come up with pretty... It might not solve the problem, but I guarantee it'd be very cool stuff we would develop. We would show up around this planet to try to, you know, find a way forward. And that's what we need to happen here, and it can happen. We're not meant to survive this. This is on purpose. I doubt highly that the ones that allowed this come to its fruition, because by Billingham there, that was asking for it, and then the repercussions for it was well understood in the 50s, 60s. But, you know, like I look at Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip and Rothschild and Rockefeller and Queen Liz or Queen Beatrice and people like this, you know, these are in their 90s. The majority of them could drop dead at any given day, and they've worked their whole life at genocide.
That's right.
As you know better than I do, probably by far. And but everything I looked at showed that these people are genocidal, and they have no remorse, and not even on their deathbed will these people have remorse.
Not one bit.
Rupert Murdoch said he will make sure his disgusting operation would survive till the end of time, even long at, you know, after he was gone. He had made sure that that machine that of hate that he created was never going to disappear. And this is what these people are like.
Isn't that amazing? Someone would plan for a legacy like that.
Yeah.
To bequest the planet with organized death and suppression and crushing of human rights.
I'm going to do all I can to finish you off while I'm gone. My goodness. You know?
Yeah.
My goodness. And There's no one to hold them accountable.
No, how do we do it?
Yeah.
We got maybe laws on the books, but how are you going to prosecute the laws?
You need a superhero, Jeff.
Yeah.
Got to get a superhero.
Well, it can't be from this planet.
Yeah. You've got to come here and take on all these big shot.
We need to have someone come here and give us an ultimatum. That's the only way I can see it honestly working. I've said it 100 times. I don't
see
any other way.
You need to come over to Canada and insult one of the women here, and they'll get sorted out right on the spot. You know what I'm saying? They need to come into the real world, and they get dealt with.
It's all just...
There's a lot of cultures out there like that. They get rid of evil when you see it. It's been going on for many, many millenniums, you know? And that culture needs to exist again in one way.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting rid of everything good. That's not right.
They are. They're perverting and corrupting everything good. There's a war on good. There's also a war on white people. We know that, being certainly pursued by the white mainstream media. They're not doing anything to quash it. In fact, they're fueling it. There's a war on European Americans. That's clear. There's a war on goodness. That's clear. We are literally a planet now that has shifted over to a satanic base. That's clear. When they erected that, did you see the arch in Palmyra in Syria? There was that ancient arch, the Temple of Baal, B-A-A-L. That was the most evil temple, the most evil location in the world. And that temple had somehow basically survived. Well, ISIS blew it all to hell with explosives.
Yeah.
But the arch, the entry arch, did not fall down. And
ISIS
don't
blow up politicians, don't blow up mayors, don't blow up
blah, blah, blah.
Like in the North America, they blow up mom and pop kettle. It was sucking on a lot of
It's crazy. So what did they do? They recreated this arch. And I have a suggestion that they may have been working on the arch itself for the last 49 years, making replicas, up to 1,000 of them, that they want to erect all around the world as a monument to evil, a monument to satanic evil. They put the first one up in Trafalgar Square in April. They were supposed to put one up in Times Square, but the word got out and they had to postpone it. They wouldn't be able, they couldn't put it. These are 40 feet tall, these arch replicas. They're made of some kind of marble. It's wild, the whole thing. And these would be markers all around the world that the planet has been dedicated to satanic evil. If they put them up, and we'll see. Hold on a minute. We'll be right back with Dana, still trying to get Yoshi on the phone. Stay tuned. Trying to get hold of Yoshi in Thailand. We had him. We lost him. It could easily be that, judging by the number of interferences in my normal way of doing business here in the last week, they're blocking him. So hopefully, hang in there, Yoshi, if you're listening. We're trying to give him a phone number to call us rather than we call him. It's expensive, but he will do it if he can. So in the meantime, we're talking with Dana about this. And I again go back to this issue of an invisible tsunami of death. It's called an extinction event. It is clearly in North America. It has crossed the North Pacific. It's gone through the North Pacific. It has killed most of the sea life there, virtually all of the sea life along the shore of British Columbia and moving down the West Coast, as we suggested it would. And now it's moving inland. If you notice, any of you, a significant decrease in songbirds, birds in general, and insects. Let us know. Let Dana know. Let me know, and we'll track this because this is how we're going to do it. The government's not going to tell us. They know, as Dana knows, and as most of you know by now, the government knows exactly what's going on here. They monitor everything: the seawater at sea level, at varying depths below, probably 50, 100, 200 meters. They monitor the atmosphere. They know what's going on, but we're not considered worthy enough to be informed about it. So,
not the new ghost, the new Ghostbusters was about Fukushima covering it up. How do you like that one? 2016.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Oh, yeah, man. I done a video on it. I wrote it all out, all the way through the video. Just hang on. I still got some sitting right there. And I'll just give some highlights of that. But I made a video just to articulate it out there. They built one of the things at 107 in that video of the Ghostbusters 2016, they draw ley lines right by the river. Okay, and so this was about the ghosts and where the ghosts got their most energy and power and where they can create just millions of these ghosts would come out and wreck the whole planet.
Yeah.
Well, that's right where they build nuclear power plants. At 1:15 minute and 2 seconds in, they show a reactor building with fuel rods coming out of the top of it, a simulation in a cartoon book-like thing. And then they show...
You mean like it blew up and the rods were sticking out of the top?
That's right. Yeah. Well, not necessarily blew up, but the rods were coming out of the top, but the building was shaped like the reactors.
Okay.
The Mach 1
All right.
Boiling water
Mach
reactor.
Mach 1 things. BW. Yeah. Yeah. BWR.
Don't shoot the car with the ghost in it. The car is basically a nuclear reactor. They also, at the beginning of it, smelling isotopes. She
really?
Says, I smell isotopes. She starts off to say, I smell electrical discharge and isotopic decay. And so,
now
if,
that's
if, you
odd.
Smell, if you were that close where you smell it heavily, like what they're suggesting, then you die right on
Did spot. You? Did you? Now, I've tasted it. I've felt it when I right after the event in 311. I was exposed. There were
and
two
I believe
different
I
times.
Was too. I smelled it.
I mean, I could smell it. I could taste it. I could feel it. My sinuses. There were pains in there. It was bizarre. It was weird. And back of my throat. It wasn't normal. It was clearly tied to the these are radionuclides. That's all they were. And
right, and you shouldn't be able to smell unless it's from a huge accident.
I wouldn't say I could smell it, like sniff it and I smell it. But I could. It was more of a taste, sense, feel kind of a thing.
Yeah, and they went a little longer on it than they should have. There was another one where they're going to test out this nuclear device. And she said, "What?" They didn't say it was nuclear device right at that time, but it was pretty obvious after it becomes clear. But she said, "Why am I testing out this device?" And she said, "Because you get the longest arm." And what that means is you can hold the radiation away from you. But it turns out after, that's highly radioactive. Zirconian alloys, talking about other stuff like this. Cyclotron, which is another terminology they use for, and that's for bringing out the 235 weaponized uranium. This is really nasty stuff from the 238 uranium, and
this is this is in Ghostbusters.
She kissed, yeah. This, at 56 minutes in, she kissed the ghost container, where the ghost is in this container, and said it made her feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And the other girl says it's probably the radiation. Then they all left. Because
really?
Seems so it's all based upon radiation up it, and the ghosts all green slime blobs, which is typical of radiation depiction.
Yeah,
and but anyway, at another point in there, they got the mayor calls them in, and they start talking about how they got to cover it up. People got, you know, like the whole speech was right there for Fukushima. What you would like, TEPCO has basically said about Fukushima.
Uh-huh.
I got how. TEPCO admitted they delayed the level 7 rating and how the whole government was in a panic and blah, 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 and how they hid the dock. You know how they admitted a few weeks back, well, less than a month ago, they hid the melted reactors. I mean, they had 5,500 speedy charts in Japan. These are modelings from the releases and from readings. And they hid that from the population who paid for it. And that was the idea of creating was so the population didn't know what to do with the population. Huh. I was just reading another article today, before I forget, that they got a whole bunch of radiation shelters in those communities down there now for the local citizens. Think about that one. And so it's just another admittance that how dangerous the radiation is. They built these shelters in these communities, 7 and 8 in each community, for the locals to go to if they couldn't evacuate after an accident.
Huh.
I mean, they give potassium. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I'm just listening. Go ahead.
They go ahead and they give potassium 40 out up to 50 miles away, you know, because they recognize the radiation come that far. But the potassium is just, this is an insurance mitigation or something, or to make them feel good, but because it doesn't do anything.
It doesn't do anything except for the thyroid.
Cesium goes right into the thyroid, too. And it doesn't guarantee you it won't displace the potassium. The synthyroid is just a theory, and there's no proof that that actually is the case. Where if you were crossing a field and there was a plume coming through the field, and you had taken that potassium iodine 24 hours or 48 hours beforehand, it might actually do its job. But if you live in an environment where you're constantly coming at you, game over within a couple of days, that got displaced. Not only that, all that cesium packs right in there too. The gamma, any type of gamma emitters will pack in there into your thyroid, into your adrenaline glands and your pineal glands and stuff like that. It'll go in all those glands, not just your thyroid, see? Hmm. It's attracted to them all. Mm-hmm. The thyroid is the one they can protect. And
the radioactive iodine from getting in there. But you mentioned cesium goes into the thyroid as well. How can the potassium keep cesium out?
Well, yeah, I can't. And not only that, the iodine didn't go in your thyroid, it just sequestered one of your other organs.
Right? Yeah, what the hell? I mean, you're talking about one of many, many organs in the body that are all open and susceptible to this. And you got one organ that if you get the stuff in early enough, it might block some of the uptake.
That was the game. That was the lie. That's the big fable. That was the trick. And so they always associate it. But don't worry, it only lasts 8 days. And then you find out in the studies that thyroid injuries from just iodine, if it was just iodine, and that's all they give the animals, was only iodine, turned out the cancer risk was their entire life. And so this was more about for medical procedures. This is what this was really about. Hmm. And that's why they always talk about background radiation. That's why UNSCLEAR, one of the biggest organizations on the planet, being quoted constantly in relationships to Fukushima or any other accident. Here they are claiming that anybody who got radiation around the world from Chernobyl, breathed in a hot particle, got the same as background radiation for 21 days. Or everybody on the planet got 21 days of extra background radiation added onto their life. This is the most idiotic, and I hate saying these words, moronic thing imaginable to say, but there it is, in writing, and being puked up by the industry or the media out there. So,
I thank you. I got the article on Pokemon.
Yeah.
What the hell? Is this whoever made Pokemon? What are they doing, overlaying their game with either Fukushima plant? What are they doing?
That's because they let so many. Because wherever cell phone is too, see, wherever cell phone range is too. But it's because they had let so many or forced so many refugees to go back. They're actually giving loans there in the communities. Now they want people to come back to the community and use the banks to hang out socially. But they'll also give them loans to do stuff. It's about the Olympics, eh? It's about a handful of people making a fortune.
Well, don't forget, as bad as Brazil is with Zika and the worries about that, you got the Tokyo Radioactive Olympics coming up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the stupidest thing imaginable. They were giving an out there a number of months back, where a diplomat from Sweden, a Japanese diplomat, had spoken out and begged Japan to allow somebody else to do it while they're still trying to build the facilities. Mm-hmm. And got no reply, of course. And Japan is in free fall right now anyway. It's done.
Japan's dying.
It's done.
Clearly, I don't understand. I feel sorry for the people there, of course. Tokyo, a city of 30 million people that should have been evacuated, should still be evacuated, but they're not going to. They'll just let them deal with it. Some will live, some will die. So it called acceptable losses, I guess.
They want to whittle, like you say, they want the population down to nothing. The robotic industry, the artificial organ industry is all coming. The real technology is just around the corner, and they want to get rid of the population.
It's going to sweep in here like a tornado. And
they want to dummy us down at least. And yeah, so the oxygen levels and the ice on the planet has been brutalized over 5 lousy years. The Pacific Ocean has heated up and created superstorms, supercell cyclones, and supercell typhoons, and supercell hurricanes that are unimaginable.
They're so big. What was that one typhoon? It was 100 miles across or something? I don't know.
Right. The one in the Philippines was 100 mile at 200, 225 mile per hour winds. Just like a tornado in comparison to it, and that's only a quarter mile wide at a super one.
Incredible.
Last 6 minutes. This thing lasted, took out 41 provinces, went on to across the ocean and over to Vietnam, and still kept going, but not at those speeds, but still was 150 miles an hour over there. And so 100, if 200, 225 mile an hour winds come in and bang into the Florida or California or something like that, it's over. And so this happened 5 times. In the last couple of years.
Right.
It's going to happen soon to some big city.
No, you're right. You're totally right. We're still trying to get to, Yoshi. I don't think we're going to do it. We're trying. But I wanted to ask him specifically about the heat, the incredible heat that much of the Northern Hemisphere is being subjected to. Warmest in history in the Middle East. American records are falling every day. There's a huge, what they call a heat dome over the center of North America. And we're way over normal here, have been since June the 1st. It's nothing new, really. We had 104, 106 degrees in early June. So it's too much. What are you up there, 85, something like that?
Yeah, it's back and forth. It's, right now it's up, I'm not even sure, because we do stupid metric. And no, still, right. I grew up with standard, and then they switched along the way to metric, and I hated it ever since and rebelled against it. But, yeah, no, it's stupid hot. For us, and everything is dry out. There's no moisture in the morning. Friends of mine who have greenhouses and stuff like this have to go water all the time, all night long water, and get up in the morning after being off for a couple of hours, and it's still drier. Huh. And there's no moisture on anything. There really is not. It's something
really?
Else.
So your entire climate baseline has been switched to a semi-arid rather than a continual base of moisture. You're dry now.
Glaciers are gone, yeah.
Yeah, and you're going to have fires? Yeah, this is all going to end up with big fires.
Endless fires. Well, we're killing off, like we've seen with Chernobyl, we killed off the microscopic world in the forest and the bacteria in the forest, so the forest didn't decay. And so fires were just brutal fires, and that's what we're seeing. At any given time, we got around 80 massive, bigger, as big as Fort McMurray, forest fires going on right now. We can't keep up with it. And never seen anything like that.
Is there any indication, Dana, that we've lost the insects? But the insects, of course, are dependent upon, in many cases, microscopic flora and fauna, which decay things. Have you been able to come up with anything about the loss of any kind of a base count or a bedrock of microscopic life that's gone? That has to be involved, but no one's looked at it yet.
And, yeah, the birds were dependent upon all those insects too, right? And
so absolutely.
That's the big indicator. All the birds are gone, and all the little.
So my point is, it's just not the insects didn't just pick up, pack up, and leave and take that food chain link. What was below them, smaller than them, had to go too. That's my view.
And like the forest that I had done 2 years ago, the coastline forest where I went into communities.
Yeah.
These places were, say, you had to clean your windshield at the other side when you drove through. You had to.
Sure.
The whole front of your car and your windshield was just disgusting, like revolting. Your windshield wipers couldn't keep it clean no matter how good your vehicle is. And to see no insects on those windows and see no insects on the side of the road, I mean, that was holy stuff for me. That was wow. And that was in tropical rainforest. And that's a spot, old growth. That's Cathedral Grove, that whole area. And these trees, some of these trees are 30 feet wide. And this has never been harvested. It's about 40 miles from one end to the other end. And so that's the perfect paradise for insects. An incredible, like, used to be a nightmare. I've done these places many times before Fukushima happened. And never seen anything like it. And I spent 2 days looking at that, going right down that path on the insects, and after that I was hooked on trying to answer that question, you know. And it's just everybody.
All right, we apparently have Yoshi online.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, you there, Yoshi?
Well, I hope you can hear me. This has been really a super hassle getting here on National Line. Hello, Dana. Good to hear your voice again. I've been traveling so unfortunately not on the show.
We got you. All right. The floor is yours. Yeah. We'll go about 7 or 8 minutes here.
Just a few things about Tim Kaine and nuclear. It was really good to see the Republican Party. Some of the activists there take the nuclear issue seriously.
First time I've seen it.
And criticize Tim Kaine.
Yeah,
that's a huge breakthrough, you know, because Bernie Sanders had criticized the situation and the influence of some Trump supporters are finally onto the nuclear issue. So there's a bit of hope there. And they point out Tim Kaine is an advocate of nuclear energy. You know, Virginia's got Dominion Power, a nuclear reactor in Surrey, Virginia. And also it's the center of the largest concentration of nuclear warships, submarines and cruisers, carriers and all that. That's at Newport News, you know, Norfolk, you know, there's a bunch of naval shipyards and naval ports on the Virginia coast. And one of the interesting things I found out about Tim Kaine, he's advocating this because there's been a major shift in Virginia, Dominion Power. They were going to buy these Mitsubishi heavy water reactor, the pressurized water reactors, but they switched to the Hitachi GE boiling water reactor. Basically the same design in Fukushima.
Who did? So, who switched?
Tim Kaine. Dominion Power.
And they're actually still making these reactors now?
Oh, sure, sure. They're
garbage.
They're advanced boiling waters, but they're basically the same design.
So it's a BWR Mark II now or something. All right.
Yeah. So basically, Kaine is on the Hitachi payroll. He's another Fukushima guy, you know? So this is just, you know, it's happening all over in England and, you know, all over the world. So unsurprising, Hillary's vice presidential choice has been bought by Hitachi GE, the guys who destroyed Fukushima and is polluting the world. So here we go again, you know, is they seem to have unlimited amounts of money. Both companies say they're broke, but they have no shortage of money to buy politicians everywhere. And now they got the Democratic Party's vice presidential nominee in their pocket, you know. So this is, anyway, it was really good to see at least the Republicans start to take this issue on, to see the seriousness of what we're talking about, you know. All these trade deals are awful things, you know, and if we have these trade deals go through, you're going to see a lot more of these crappy nuclear power plants coming into service all across the United States, too. You know, they're discounting. They're so desperate to get rid of nuclear fuel, you know, they're discounting the power plants. So, anyway, bad news there, you know, bad news everywhere. I was just down in Southeast Asia.
Uh-huh.
Are you still there? Yeah.
Yeah, we're here.
Malaysia? People living in Penang say it's highly radioactive. Well, that makes a lot of sense because they get cross winds from the Pacific and from the Indian Ocean. We have all the beach kills in Vietnam. You have all the fish dying, you know, similar to what's happening on the West Coast of America. And then I was down in Singapore. I was visiting an old friend of mine, you know. He lives on about the 8th floor of a luxury apartment tower in the nicest part of Singapore, one of the more expensive places. You know, 0.20 microsieverts on his sofa. You know, I just threw the dosimeter. He just, you know, was just joking. He says, well, do you think it's radioactive here? And I just, you know, switched on the dosimeter, threw it on there. You know, it's massive. It doubled the Japanese limit, you know, in Singapore.
0.2.
So, and he was wondering why. I said, well, you're basically, you could see the fog outside your window. You know, you're basically nearly at cloud level. And so it's coming in the moisture, you know, all across the Pacific. So the whole Pacific is basically contaminated. At least most of the Pacific, northern Pacific is contaminated. And I got to wonder about what's happening in Australia, too, you know. Gary Greenwood sent me a message about the barrier reef is about gone. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just wondering if all the uranium mining down there, if someone's not dumping a lot of nuclear waste near the barrier reef.
Yeah, that's interesting.
This industry is so... Yeah, this industry is so out of control. You know, they're just so expedient. They don't care. They just dump wherever they can, wherever they get away with it. And they're not thinking of the consequences. And we need politicians like the Vice President of the United States, the President of the United States, senators, to take this stuff seriously, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're having a heck of a time in Japan, obviously, with, and that's something I'm researching now. I found out that voting machines in Japan, I don't think I mentioned this to you. Well, on the paper ballots, there's a super hard paper. The paper is so hard, it's like stone, okay? And they're making the voters check off the ballots with pencils. In other words, you didn't erase this thing, there'd be no trace of this.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so in other words, they're stealing, the nuclear industry is stealing the elections, okay? With through the most, you know, dubious, dodgy means. Just insane.
You're the only one who's on top of this. Yeah, that's it. Wow.
Well, I wish people pay attention, you know. I mean, the fact is Hitachi is coming to Virginia. That should be very, very alarming. You know, they're building a Fukushima right there in Surrey, right on the coast of Virginia. It should be alarming to people who live out. And anyone who's been out to Virginia knows it's a beautiful state, you know. It's a wonderful place, a lot of historical heritage, great, you know, pastures, forests,
sure,
and all that.
Of course.
Criminal.
Just, well,
criminal,
I got the story here. I mean, Tim Kaine is supporting nuclear power as a solution to meeting Virginia's commitment to reduce its carbon footprint. So there you go.
Yeah, so just look up Dominion Power, and you will see right there they're switching to Hitachi. You know, just the people who built the reactors 1 and 2.
I assume these same designs still have the spent fuel pool 5 stories off the ground.
I don't think those designs have radically changed. I'm not, you know, a nuclear engineer, but I don't think there's radical changes. And then they're basically, look, you know, when a meltdown happens, it just burns right through. There's no protection. I mean, even the best of designs.
Of course. Yeah.
Are totally vulnerable.
Yeah. Dana was able to come up with some information from a Forbes magazine article that it appears that for the first time there's been mention that Daini has been a total loss as well. They're talking about decommissioning that.
There were explosions there, you know, all the explosions went unreported, you know. There was explosions at 2-1, the vast one at 3. So, you know, he just sort of come dribbling out in these reports. Oh, by the way, there was an explosion in the reactor. Oh, my gosh. You know, so it's released in the atmosphere, and everything apparently burned right through, you know, right through the basement there, right through the concrete.
And it went, that happened in just a matter of days, by the way. It happened quickly.
It was happening, like, you know, the meltdowns were happening within 2 hours of the tsunami. They were starting up, things were heating up.
And you know, the people there knew it.
The next day, explosions.
Yoshi, the people there knew it, and they never said anything, nothing. And most of them are dead now.
Well, that's why they had to, that's why they all ran. All the workers ran out of Fukushima 1 on March 12th, you know, less than 24 hours after the tsunami hit, and the prime minister had to order him to go back to work and keep the water running. Don't let the whole darn thing go up in smoke, you know. So
you remember that, folks?
They all just evacuated.
They ran. Yeah. They actually ran.
They ran to Fukushima number 2. They got in their trucks and cars and drove away. And they were ordered back by the prime minister. He says, you cannot do this, because if you do this, we're going to lose half of Japan, you know. You know, we've got to put the water on there. So that's how bad it was. And now, as Dana points out from this Forbes article, it was far worse than reported. And like I say, the only mention of this are in some of these, you know, in the boilerplate reports that come out of, you know, out of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission there. You know, they're buried. The truth of the situation, how dire it was, it's just buried under, you know, a lot of verbiage. So.
Right. Right. Thank you.
Anyone who trusts nuclear is an idiot.
It's just a total idiot.
Or you're totally corrupt. You don't care.
That is our execution. Thanks, Dana. You take care.
Yeah, you too, folks.
Yeah, okay. Take it easy, Dana. I hope I hear you next time. Just terrible.
You too. Awesome. Good night, folks.
Okay. Yoshi, thank you for the article. I've got it up
all
there.
Right.
It's an essay on Turkey.
Oh, yeah.
What a scene. You know, no one's talking about...
I had to do that because everyone is not getting it right, you know, of what's going on. That Obama and Erdogan, they're in collusion right from the beginning, from 2009, the first diplomatic trip abroad.
Well, they've been shepherding and funding terrorism. Now, here's the funny part. Turkey could claim... over, there's 50 to 60 American B-61 nukes or whatever they are. They've got the base. Mm-hmm. They could take those nukes and hold them as ransom to get Gulen or Julin out of the U.S. Yeah. That's, they might do that.
Yeah. They don't really want it. I mean, they're not going to do that. This is all like collusion. You know, there's nothing like that. There's no real tension. That's just a game. There was no real coup. They just basically had
fraud.
To take out all
absolutely.
It's a fraud. They had to take out all the Navy and Army commanders on the GNC who were involved in the European migrant, you know, crisis. The Turkish Navy and the CIA, George Soros and the Clinton Foundation organized those 500,000 migrants across. And now that, you know, European airports are being blown up and people are getting massacred across Europe, now they have to cover their tracks, you know, before Obama goes out of office.
Okay.
You know, they don't want Trump to come in with all the files intact of what really happened and why Europe is being destroyed.
Look at my headlines. You haven't seen the big story today. Huma Abedin, Hillary's top advisor, in those dumped emails, in one email said that Hillary is mentally not there. She needs to be watched all the time. So you read that, you get up to speed on that.
Pathological. We can't let these people run what's left of the nuclear industry.
No way.
We cannot let them do that.
Okay, Yoshi. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you for trying so hard to get through.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, we got to wrap it up and say a quick good night. Thank you for being here. We'll be right back with you tomorrow night with more analysis. And I hope you have a good day. It is really crazy out there. Be careful.